Thank you today for the touch of the Holy Ghost, God. I believe, God, that you are present, God, to do a work, God, in the hearts of the saints of your people. God, we love you when we give you the praise and the glory today, God, for all that you're going to do in these services. And I just pray your hand, God, be upon us today as we are in Bible study. Reveal your mind, your heart, your will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. And we can turn to Acts chapter 20. Praise God. It's good to be in the house of the Lord today. It's good to be with God's people. Amen. I love this church. I love this truth. Amen. And I nothing wavering. Amen. We're going to stay the course. And we're going to see God's purpose and agenda accomplished in our city. And I believe that. And guess what? Not only in our city, but also in our lives. I want the will of God for my life. I want the will of God for your life. Amen. And I believe we will find that as we reach out and as we make a difference in our community. Amen. Acts chapter 20. And just to shed a little bit of light on this, the context here, Paul is in the middle of his missionary journeys, and as he's journeying about, he's going from church to church, and everywhere he went, there was a word or a confirmation that he's going to have to face some adversity. One such person was Agabus. He was a prophet, and he bound himself in Paul's cloak, and he said, "So is the man whose cloak this is," and he was saying that Paul was bound. And then he began to prophesy, saying that when he's going to go to Jerusalem, and they're going to capture him, and they're going to bind him, and he's going to go unto the Gentiles. And so, but Paul had said in this passage, you'll find it when we read it, that everywhere he went from church to church, it's been a confirmed word. And so he knew he had a destiny, some things he was looking to, but he was there to encourage the Ephesians, and he gathered the heads of the Ephesians church, and he encouraged them and told them to keep the course and to not waver from the message, just to keep preaching the truth. Amen. But in this passage, there's a key verse that I'm going to take, Acts chapter 20, verses 19 through 27. And it says, "Serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations, which befall me by the laying in of weight of the Jews." And now you think of Paul, we think of a strong man. We think of a man who had a resolve that to preach the gospel and do the things of God, and just a strong man. But I'll tell you, there were some tears in his journeys. And I'll tell you what, I believe his tears were more so for other people than for himself, because he knew that there were going to be men who crept in unawares. And so he knew that there was trouble coming to the church at times. And so he agonized. This was his heart. This was his burden. Amen. But in verse 20, and it goes on to say, "And how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance towards God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And now behold, I go bound into the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there." Notice he uses that word bound. I'm sure that's words that maybe Agabus led him to believe, but he also knows he's bound by the Spirit to preach the gospel. In verse 23, it says, "Save that the Holy Ghost witness in me every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me." So he's saying there that every city that he's gone to, that the Holy Ghost has brought witness to this fact. And then 24, this is kind of the key scripture that I want to take today. And it says, "But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And notice that that's and but none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto me. And that's kind of just the main crux of the thought today. And I'll just finish out reading 25 through 27 without commentary. And now, behold, I know that ye all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more. Wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Amen. Praise God. And you can be seated, and we already did pray at the beginning of service here, so I'll just go right in to the lesson. Amen. But, you know, a life that revolves around me is not a life at all. And life is found when the mission becomes bigger than us, when the calling takes us outward, thus leading us upward. And I'll tell you, you're going to have an upward ascent when you become outward in your approach with people and outward with the approach of this message. Amen. There's an upward touch that God is going to bring on your life because of your outward approach to the things of God. And so there is more to life than our issues. It is often when we catch that and we press outward in spite of our issues that we find our freedom. And I don't know, I've had issues. I've had things in my life that I've had to struggle through. Amen. And it was when I decided to look beyond that, and I've decided to press beyond my issue, when I've decided to reach out beyond my circumstance, amen, that I found some peace of mind, and I found some strength and comfort in the Holy Ghost. Amen. It doesn't come when we're focused and obsessing about God and how He's going to fix our problem and how He's going to fix all the issues that befall me. Amen. And I tell you, it's the encouragement today that I bring is to get outside of your issue. Amen. To get outside of your trial. Amen. And press into the place where God would have you to be. Amen. To not be so inward in your approach of life, but to be outward in your approach to life. And so it is often when we catch that and press outward in spite of the issue that we find our freedom. Amen. We seek to move our attention elsewhere. Amen. We have to make it an asserted effort. Amen. We have to make it a mission. We have to make it every day a mission when we are in this introverted mindset of looking inside of ourselves and wondering how we're going to be free from our issue. Amen. But if we just make it an asserted effort daily to make it a mission to find some way to reach outside of your situation, to reach outside of your issue, to reach outside of the affliction in your life and the things that you're facing. Amen. And I believe God will bring such a mighty touch of His presence on your life. Amen. I've found it time and again in my life. Amen. When I'm bogged down and I'm pressed. Amen. And things seem to be stacked against me. Amen. And things seem to be crumbling beneath my feet. Amen. If I can just gather my wits about me and I can understand that God is trying to do something a little bigger. Amen. And I can reach beyond my issue. Amen. And I find that there is, amen, a power in me going outward. Amen. When the focus begins to not be about me. Amen. But it befalls on somebody else. Somebody else who has maybe perhaps the same pain down inside that you carry. Amen. And God will come through and God will touch your situation. Amen. Amen. So we seek to move our attention elsewhere, making it our mission to encourage somebody else. Amen. To edify somebody else, to add something of value to the atmosphere of our church. Amen. I'm telling you, there's been times where I've been in a dark trial. Amen. But I decide that I'm going to press. I decide that I'm going to get to church and I'm going to find God. Amen. And I get to the altar and I pray and I search God out. I want to see God's will. Amen. And it becomes our greatest intention and our purpose in our life at those moments to get a hold of God. Amen. But I want to add something of value to the atmosphere. Amen. And I'll tell you, all it needs to be sometimes is maybe just a warm smile. And maybe all it needs to be is just a friendly hello. Amen. When you didn't really feel like saying hello to anybody. Amen. I'll tell you, we just need to reach out beyond that circumstance. Perhaps you could bring somebody a word of encouragement. And maybe you say that I'm not much of a person of words. Maybe words don't come easy to you. But I'll tell you, if you can make it a mission and say, God, I want to be an encouragement. I want to encourage somebody. I believe you can go to God in prayer and you can ask God to help you with that. And God can give you a specific word for somebody and you can speak a word of encouragement into them. Amen. It doesn't have to be something super huge or super spiritual, but perhaps it's maybe just telling somebody that they're good at something. And you know, man, I sure do admire this about you. You know, we don't hear that enough. Amen. I confess, maybe perhaps I don't do that enough. And I'm challenged of myself. Amen. I want to be able to get outside of our issues. Amen. I want us to get outside of ourselves and perhaps maybe intimidation or different areas in your life where you're feeling trapped. Amen. I'm telling you, if you just challenge that place and you get beyond yourself and your issue, amen, God is going to do a great work. And I'll tell you today, frustration is our lot when we become the focus. Amen. Is there frustration in life due to issues or circumstances that have not changed and appear untouched by God? Perhaps He's driving you outward. Perhaps He's driving us outward. There is no progression in God when our life becomes our focus. Amen. When you see things crumbling and you see, God, I feel like I need to get this right with you. And God, I see a list of stuff where I need to line up and God this and God that. And God, I'll tell you what you do in that situation, because I'll tell you, I've been in that before and I've prayed and I've sought and I've seen things crumble and I've seen that I'm not lining up here and I'm not lining up there. Well, I'll tell you what, all you got to do is just get outside of yourself. Amen. God, get outside of your circumstance. Get outside of your trouble and of your things in which you're focusing on. Amen. And God's going to come through for you. I've seen it time and again. Amen. And I know there's times where we are challenged. Amen. By nature, we're challenged. I think some of us are introvert by nature. That's. When you're called to be a preacher and you're an introvert by nature, there's a challenge there. Amen. And I have to say my heart races every time I get up here. Amen. And it's guess what? It's because we're making ourselves vulnerable. We're making ourselves to be in the seat of judgment. Amen. And you can all judge me. And I'm not saying you do. I'm just saying that in your mind, that's the fear that we all have when we come up to this pulpit. You know, and maybe not all, but I think we all... We want to do the will of God, and we want to do as Paul did, and we want to preach the full counsel of God, and we want to preach the full truth. And I was reading some scary passages for a minister, especially in Ezekiel chapter 3, and the prophet Ezekiel was going to be accountable for the blood of men who he did not tell the truth to. Amen. I felt a challenge by that. It's our responsibility to tell a lost and dying world that there is a hell to shun and there's a heaven to gain. And I think sometimes we just focus so much on the heaven to gain that we forget about the hell to shun. Amen. I'm telling you, it's a reality. There is a hell to be shunned. and it needs to be preached, and it needs to be preached, amen, with tears coming down your eyes. Amen, I don't want to see anybody go to hell. Amen, and it needs to have compassion. It doesn't need to be with hardness in your heart, amen. They need to feel a genuine love from you when you're preaching about hell and the seriousness of hell. And so we have a responsibility. But God is in the business of making an introvert an extrovert. Amen. I'm telling you, and I was thinking about this. Brother, he's not here, and I wanted to ask him before this, but Brother Shrekeyes, I think Brother Shrekeyes by nature would be an introvert because he's such a gentle, meek, mild temperament man. But I'll tell you, he is so involved in every one of our lives, isn't he? Has he not made himself friendly, and he just puts himself out there, and he shakes your hand, and he loves on you. He's humble. He doesn't. I sense within him just a genuineness of love and goodness. But I think by nature he would probably be an introvert. But God has made him an extrovert, so much the so that he is a missionary in Foreignfield. So much the so that he is involved constantly in other people's lives. Amen. And I'm telling you, that's what God is in the business of doing, is making an introvert an extrovert. And but I'll tell you, we might say it's not my nature to be outward. It's not my nature to be outside of myself. It's not my nature to be an extrovert, but I'll tell you one thing is Acts 1:8 says, "And ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses of me both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." Amen. I'm telling you today that the Bible says that you shall receive power. And we know what that talks about. We've heard that before, that word power. It's dunamis. It is where we get that root word for dynamite. And I'll tell you, dynamite is anything but introverted. Dynamite is explosive. Dynamite is outward. And so that's what we're talking about today. And I guess I didn't give you the title, but the title is Outward and Upward. Amen. That's what God wants from us. We want to be outward. Amen. We want to be outside of our shell. We want to be outside of our comfort zones. We ought to be challenging our comfort zone constantly. Amen. When I come to church, I have my comfort zone. It's those whom I like to talk with and those who I've already have established friendships with. But how about we get outside of our comfort zone and go involve yourself in somebody? Amen. Involve yourself in somebody perhaps that maybe you haven't gotten to know. Amen. And involve yourself in trying to remember somebody's name. And involve yourself in trying to remember somebody's birthday or somebody, you know, whatever it may be. But involve yourself in somebody else. You know, our trials are used as a tool of the enemy to derail our focus. Bringing us back in a little bit. The devil, we have a trial, and the devil sees, oh, I got to put some reins on this person. They're starting to get a little outside of themselves, and they're starting to get a little freedom, too much, maybe a little too much freedom. So I got to go ask God. It's time for a trial, and maybe perhaps God says, yeah, you can allow some trials to come on their life, and it's his desire. The devil wants to try to rein in that outwardness. Amen. He's going to try to keep you inward. He's going to try to keep you focused, amen, on the things within you that maybe perhaps need worked out. And so he's going to cause us for our attention to easily be taken off of this. But I'll tell you, with the enemy, it's an easy work for him since self-centeredness comes so easy, right? Self-centeredness is so easy for every one of us to be trapped into self-centeredness. Amen. I'm just feeling a challenge of late. Amen. That we need to challenge some things within ourselves. We need to get outside of perhaps some of our self-centeredness in our mindset. Amen. And I don't know about you, but I've enjoyed pastors' teaching of late. The teaching on Wednesday night from Saint to Ain't. Amen. There's some powerful teaching there, and I wished I had taken notes from the very beginning, but we are learning that the letter S makes a world of difference. Amen. It's just one letter different. Amen. You take the S and drop it off a saint, and what do you got? You got an ain't. Amen. So one letter makes a world of difference. Amen. And so, but on Wednesday night, we heard that one S that he was focusing on. We heard that last night, on Wednesday night, the teaching on selflessness. Amen. And we want to be selfless as a child of God. Amen. I think it's important for us to, I believe that's what the Holy Ghost has been saying. I believe that's what God is wanting to communicate to us. Amen. And God is calling us unto selflessness. He's calling us unto the attention of other people. Amen. And so, in Mark chapter 12, 29 through 31, it says, "And Jesus answered him, 'The first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these.'" Amen. And so, but I pray that we can comprehend that. I pray that we can fully understand what God is saying. Amen. That is the commandment in the New Testament. That is the very crux of the matter. Amen. And so many times I think our focus gets on so many other areas and so many different places. And we need that. We need to focus on other areas in our relationship with God. But help us not to be forgetful that the very crux of the matter is that we would love the Lord our God with all of our heart, with all of our mind, with all of our soul, with all of our might. Amen. And then the second is likened unto the first, because I'll tell you, if you love God, you're going to love your brother. If you love God, you're going to love your sister. But it doesn't just say brother or sister, it says neighbor. You know who neighbor is? It's anybody. It's this world. It's those that are around you every day as your neighbor. Amen. We need to love them. Amen. With an unfailing love. Amen. And so our inward focus nature is to be moved outward, isn't it? Isn't that what God requires of us? Amen. He wants us to be outward. He doesn't want us to lick our wounds. He doesn't want us to stay on the inside and looking at all of those things in which trouble us. Amen. But we are to love them as we love ourselves. That's what God would want from us. To love them from, we look within ourselves and the attention that we give to our needs should be the attention that we give to our neighbor's need. Amen. I could spend many hours obsessing in my mind over things in my life that are undone. Things in my life that trouble me. And I obsess and I can try to figure out what God would want to do with it in my life. And how God's going to fix it, and I can give them suggestions and this and that. But I'll tell you, if I could take that energy, and I can use that energy to get outside of myself and to meet somebody else's need, amen, and to touch somebody else's need, amen, it's wasted energy, amen. And so the intensity of worry and concern for our need is energy we could be using to touch someone else's need. Acts chapter 20. In 24, it says, "But none of these things move me." This is our key verse. "None of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, that I might finish my course with joy. And the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus, I testify the gospel of the grace of God." Amen. I'll tell you, Paul, he in his life, and when he said this statement, he was uncertain as the exact situation that was before him, but he was willing at that moment to go bound to Jerusalem. He didn't know if he was to die. He didn't know. All he knew is he was going to be sent to the Greeks, or the Gentiles, I should say. So Paul states that he counts not his life dear unto him. So what does this word dear mean? It's an important question, I think, to ask. But dear actually means valuable are costly, are honored, are esteemed, are precious. So Paul didn't count his life valuable. Paul didn't count his life costly. Paul didn't count his life as honored. Paul didn't count his life as esteemed. Paul didn't count his life as being precious. So I'll tell you today, some struggle with esteem. Some struggle with issues of esteem. And I'll tell you, I know the pain of that. But I'm telling you, it's important to get up outside of that. Paul didn't count his life dear unto him. Paul didn't count his life to have any esteem. Amen. He didn't count his life to be honored. He didn't think that he should not taste death. He didn't think that he should not find chains and bounds, bondage of the Holy Ghost, being bound by the Holy Ghost. Amen. But he was a servant of God. So if you are struggling in life finding esteem or value, please know today that he does. God does esteem you. God does value you. And I'll tell you, we don't understand the depth of that. We don't understand the treasure that's there. And there's been times where you can find a place of prayer and you can go in prayer and you can be praying and travailing and asking God that he would show somebody their esteem and somebody that perhaps maybe you're reaching for and how much God would love them. And God shows you the value that he holds for that person. And then you can be surprised to understand that he feels that same way about you. I've had that happen before and it touched my life. But I'm telling you, God values and God esteems people. Amen. But we need to not seek that for ourselves. Amen. Praise God. In Mark chapter 8, verse 35, it says, "For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's the same shall save it." Amen. So today I'm giving us a reminder where true life can really truly be found. Amen. I'm telling you, life can be found today when we choose the cross. Life can be chosen or found today when we lose our life so that we can find it. Amen. When we suffer the loss of all things so that we might gain his reward. Amen. Praise God. So today, if you want happiness, if you want fulfillment, you will find it on the outwardness. Today, you'll find that fulfillment if you reach outside of your own self. Amen. And touch someone's life. And I'm not making light of your mental struggle. I'm just saying today, press outward. Amen. That resistance and the intimidation, amen, that you might feel, if you reach outward, it will diminish. Amen. And so you will find strength beyond your own. Amen. You will, and I'll tell you today that self-preservation becomes our own destruction if we try to preserve our own life. Amen. So it is today that God is challenging us to find our place in God. Amen. A ministry where we are called to. Amen. And I'll tell you, the Bible says that the harvest is white and ready unto harvest. Amen. He's offered it to us. He said it's here for us to take it. And we can take that harvest and we can do something with it. Amen. I don't want to sit on my hands. Amen. When a world around me is dying, when people are losing their soul. Amen. When there is destruction that is before so many people. Because broad is the gate that leads to destruction. But narrow is the way and few there be that find it. Amen. Praise God. So today, people need your smile. People need your warmth and your support. Amen. A kind word is rare in this world. So I tell you, say something nice. find a nice word to say. Something as simple as going to the gas station. And perhaps there's a gas station you like to go to because they always have the window cleaner always full and it's clean and you can clean your windows. Amen. I'll tell you, if you like going to that gas station because they got that all set up for you, then I'd encourage you to go inside and tell that person at the counter, thank you for always having that windshield washing fluid. All you guys do such a great job on that. You know, what does it hurt to go inside and give somebody a compliment? And I've done that before, and I've seen their face just perk up. Wow. That's so odd to them. Can we be appreciative of people? Amen. Can we invest in people? Can we love people? Can we be outside of ourselves? Amen. Can we love on them like God has called us to love on them? Amen. Praise God. And I'll tell you, speak well of people and treat them with significance. I'm reading a book right now, The Significance Principle. And it's a good book. But it's written in the top Fortune 500 businesses, I think the top five of them, the reason that business is so successful is because their CEO knows how to treat people with significance. He knows how to make them feel valuable. He knows how to make them feel like they're important, that they have something to offer, that they are significant. Amen. Can we do that for somebody else? I know that's what we want for ourselves, but can we make somebody else feel significant? I believe we had 238 people here on Sunday, and I believe there was room for us to make somebody feel significant. Praise God. Wow, I didn't realize what time it was. Can we stand? I hope it's not thank you, Jesus, because I'm done. Well, anyhow, praise God. I think I did communicate what God wanted to say, but praise God. Can we stand or go to God in prayer? Sorry, we're standing, but can we ask God to just touch this situation, touch our lives and touch our lives and help us to be outward? Amen. God, I just believe today that your strength is made perfect. God, that you're the God of all grace, the God of all strength and comfort. God, I ask, God, that you would help us in this challenge, God, to be outward, God, to reach beyond ourselves, to touch this world. God, they're in need. They need us, God. They need the comfort. They need the strength of the Holy Ghost, God, and we love you. God, we give you all the praise, and we give you all the glory. And it's unto your name we do pray, in Jesus' name, amen and amen.